Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back with you again this morning. We certainly do appreciate what the Lord did for us on Wednesday. And it just, it's a reminder to all of us of what the Lord will do when we're together in one mind and one accord. It only takes one spirit to derail everything. But when we come together, you know, sometimes it's not even that you're coming in with a bad spirit necessarily, but maybe your minds are on other things and you're worrying or you're fearful or whatever, and it's just a different atmosphere. So the Lord just came and amened His own word, and it's been a few years since we've had a service like that, and we used to have services like that all the time. We're going to have services like that all the time. Amen. Amen. It's nothing that we do. It's what He does. We're so thankful for His goodness and His mercy. So Brother Andy's ministering in Espanola this morning, so we certainly want to remember him in prayer and also for safe travel back home, and that he remembers to come back home. As we pray for you also when you're traveling. Amen. United with the Eternal One, Part 15. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So he doesn't even know where he's going. His walk is going to be progressive. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So far, I don't see anywhere where Abram's asking God to do anything. I also don't see where God's asking Abram, you know, if this is okay with you, this is what I'll do. And I will bless them that bless thee, because I know that you'll be a good boy. There's no condition there. I will. And curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old, and he's just beginning his walk with the Lord. Wow. It's never too late. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just so thankful for Your love and Your mercy, Your goodness, Your grace. Lord, we're so thankful for just all that You've done, all that You're doing, all that You're going to do. Lord, to know You, to rest in Your grace, to be the recipients of Your grace this morning. Father, we pray that Your blessings be with each and every one. We pray that You'd anoint our thinking, Lord, as Your Word goes forth. Father, that we would open the channel of our mind so that Your Word can travel down into our soul and find its resting place. And then, Lord, we just ask that whatever portion it is that we have need of, that You would provide it, knowing ahead of time, Lord, that this is what You want to do. But as we heard earlier, Lord, You've ordained for us to ask. So we're asking this morning according to Your Word. We ask that You'd bless each and every one. Lord, just continue to anoint our brother Andy and use him. Lord, and be with our brother Eli and sister Lydia as they take care of affairs back in Puerto Rico. And Lord, we just be with the ministry as they prepare for the meetings that are coming up in a few weeks and those that will be traveling. And Lord, with all those that are going to have a part in serving and preparing and what have you, we just put it all into your capable hands. And we look to you, Lord, for your leadership and for your provision. And Lord, we're in just great expectation. Now, Father, bless your word as it goes forth, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So as we've seen last week, as we're going through this series, God has established patterns, and God reveals his nature and his characteristics to us. He doesn't do it all at once, but it's a progressive revelation throughout time. God has patterns, God has ways of doing things, and his patterns and his ways do not change. And God's nature and God's characteristics do not change. And we might take that for granted. You know, you might be sitting there this morning, well, you know, why don't you tell me something I don't know, and, you know, I want to hear something new. But we really shouldn't take it for granted. Think about it. God gives us a pattern, and he leaves us a pattern to follow. And God doesn't change. And there's such a rest that comes in knowing what to expect. And knowing that God isn't going to change on us. You know, we find many times as children that we'll make friends and our friends might change. Our neighborhood might change. Our city might change. We might move. Our culture certainly changes. There are fads. You buy a new outfit, and you're just so happy, and you think, my, I'm just going to fit in, and then the styles change. The weather changes. Our money changes. Our food changes. So many things change. And change that is out of your control causes fear and causes doubt and worry and anxiety. And yet, in the midst of all of that change around us, we can rest in the fact that God doesn't change and that his ways do not change. And since he's the one that's in control of the believer's life, we can have a peace and we can have a rest in the midst of everything that's changing around us. Everything around us can be sinking sand, but on Christ the solid rock we stand. So the New Testament church that was established in the beginning, they knew that God had established patterns and that God does not change. And so they didn't throw out everything. You know, many of them were Old Testament believers. Many of them were Jews that were coming to this gospel faith. And so they knew that God had patterns. They knew that God had an established way of doing things. And so they didn't throw out everything that they knew about God that was recorded in the Old Testament. They knew that if he was still one God in the Old Testament, he'd have to be one God in the New Testament. And they knew that he chose some out of many in the Old Testament. And so they knew that election would still exist in a New Testament church under a New Testament covenant. So that when the New Testament was being written, they understood the Godhead. And so when they read about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they didn't get the idea in their minds that there was more than one God. They understood what was being expressed. But you can easily see how a person that does not know Jehovah of the Old Testament first, does not understand the Old Testament writings and God's nature and God's character and his patterns, you can see how they might read the New Testament having not been to the Old Testament, and get the idea that God is more than one being. And if you become familiar with the New Testament first, and then read the Old Testament, you can come up with a different understanding of God than if you were first established in the Old Testament covenant, and then read the New Testament. If you knew God of the Old Testament first, and then started reading the New Testament, you'd read about the Father, and you'd read about the Son, and you'd read about the Holy Ghost, and you would know that this is the same God in different forms, different offices, different attributes of himself being expressed. So is it with election. So is it with predestination. So is it with foreknowledge. So is it with sovereignty and grace and mercy and the law and so many other things. But if we try to understand grace from some people's conception of what grace is, and then we try to understand election, we will end up completely confused. But if we look at election first in the Old Testament and then move on into the New Testament, we don't struggle with Paul's teachings. We don't struggle with his teachings on election, foreknowledge, predestination, free moral agency, free will, because God's pattern didn't change. Moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the pattern didn't change. And God's nature didn't change, moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He reveals certainly more of himself to us under the New Testament covenant, but he has not changed his ways and he has not changed his nature. Can you say amen? He reveals more of himself to us under the New Testament, but he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we find out that the law in the Old Testament, it describes to us what the life of a born-again son or daughter of God will look like from the outside if you were to observe them when they are filled with the Holy Ghost and their nature has changed. They will keep the law. And we find out that grace, the idea that we might have had of what grace is not God letting you just live any old way that you want to, any old way that you choose to under free moral agency. That is not grace. We find out that grace is God choosing you and God placing a part of himself in you at your first birth, and then God quickening that part in you at your second birth as he draws himself to you and as he reveals himself to you in a greater and greater measure. And God's grace is God himself coming to live in that converted soul. And it's God keeping you. Oh, friends, grace is God keeping you no matter what comes your way. No matter what you may or may not do. And God's grace does not take away your free will. But God's grace causes all things to work for good in spite of your free will. The grace of God to the elect is much more than the forgiveness of sins, though that is grace to them also. It is God choosing to make his covenant with you. And it is an unconditional covenant based on his choosing alone, without him asking you how you feel about it. It is God choosing to make his unconditional covenant with you. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the Old Testament believers had no trouble at all believing that God could choose a nation from among nations. So when they would read about what Paul and Peter wrote and others preached about election, now recall they were hearing the word being preached for 27 years before they read anything. The basis of their Old Testament faith was that God had chosen one man out of millions. And that it had nothing to do with what this man had done or what this man had not done or whether or not this man wanted God or not. God chose Abraham and God made his covenant with him and never even asked Abraham once if it was okay with him if God did that. God made his covenant with that one man. God did that. One man. A Jewish person that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the first church age, they had no trouble understanding and believing these things because the Old Testament pattern was already there. They could see that God was extending his covenant with his elect in the New Testament, and they could see that God was also extending grace to people that were not his elect, people that were in other categories, just as there were people in other categories in the Old Testament, as we looked at last week. They could read in the book of John, in the book of Revelation, where John said, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." And then they could read where John went on to say, "Let him that is athirst come." And then they could read a little further where John said, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And they knew and they would understand that this is addressed to different groups of people. And it's not just saying the same thing different ways to whosoever will. The first church was blessed, friends. The first church was blessed in that they did not have all of the preconceived ideas and preconceived notions that they had to break through over a period of years like so many of us have to do, myself included. They did not have to be purged of all the wrong ideas that these things that you and I have to be purged from our thinking when we come to this feast. They just came to a feast. And they're hearing it for the first time and they believed. And as we have seen, there are people that hang around where this restored word is being spoken and where this restored word is being taught, and they don't even realize that they are hearing it through a denominational filter. When you talk about a bride, they think you are being elitist. And that you're making yourself to be something special and that you're looking down on others. When you talk about Jesus Christ, the image that comes to their mind, they think you're talking about a historical figure that lived 2,000 years ago, and they fail to recognize that you are talking about the living God that we are in a personal relationship with right now. Yes, he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, but he's in another form now. When you talk about how a Christian lives, they think that it's something that's done under rules and regulations and done under the law and done by your ability and not by the power of God and a changed heart. And it's all because of denominational ideas of man that we have been taught and we have accepted before hearing the restored word that the early church received in the beginning. They were blessed. They didn't have to hear Calvinism over here and Arminianism over there and then try to find out what the balance was. Try to sort through it. They heard the truth. So the first believers, they didn't have traditions in their heads to confuse them from the truth. Isn't that wonderful? And yet, there were many Jews that Jesus came to first because he came to his own first. And they had their heads so full of traditions under the Old Testament teachings that they could not receive him when he came to be the very fulfillment of the Old Testament. Their heads were just so filled with man's ideas and man's teachings and man's creeds and dogmas and traditions that they had no understanding of the words of their forefathers. They were blind to their own covenant, in other words, by traditions. And so is it prophesied to be the very same condition here in the last days for the Gentiles. Blind by our own traditions, by our own understanding. So many of us, before we heard the truth, we were blind. We didn't understand the New Testament. We didn't know what it was really telling us. And so when the truth comes to us, we're told to take some of that Malachi 4 eye salve and apply it to our eyes so that we can see things as they really are, and to have our hearts turned back to that original faith, and then to repent of all of our wrong thinking with zeal. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He's even telling them, you're going to be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. So here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I'm going to do for others. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What did Abram do to deserve this? He's still Abram at this point. And God hasn't asked Abram to do anything. He hasn't asked him to make a choice. Listen to this. Here comes Abel. Knowing that it wasn't apples or fruits, God didn't dwell in beauty or a sincerity. He dwells in election and calling. He dwells in election and calling. So he wraps his vine around the lamb's neck, and here he comes moving up to the altar. So God dwells in election and calling. God has a great inheritance that he decrees to whosoever will. It's a wonderful inheritance. And there are things in the inheritance of all the different groups. It's common. Healing's common. Deliverance is common. God wants to bless you. He wants to be your provider. Those things are common in all of the inheritances. But God has a great inheritance for the whosoever will group. He has another great inheritance for the foolish virgin group. Another great inheritance for the 144,000, the remnant of the Jews. And it is grace and it's unmerited favor. Nobody, whether they be bride, foolish virgin, whosoever will, nobody earns this favor that God extends to all of us. Those that receive an inheritance at the great white throne judgment, they receive many great things. But they do not receive election. And they do not sit with him in his throne. And they are not united with him. And they never will be. Now, he could have chosen to give everybody the same inheritance. But he didn't. He could have given the foolish virgin eternal life while they were yet living on this side of glory. But he didn't. And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. That was his choice also. Genesis 12:2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know, people struggle with God giving some men a great name. This is what God does. It's not what man does. Now, when man tries to do it, I get it, why people would struggle. But God gives some men a great name. And it's not the same as men trying to make their name great. It's God making a name for them. That word great, to grow, to become great or important, promote, make powerful, praise, magnify, do great things. So it's the sovereign choice of God to make some men great. It's the sovereign choice of God to make some men convention speakers and not others. And others sometimes will be critical of men that God has given a great name. But they didn't give themselves a great name. God did. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. And I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. And have made thee a great name. This is speaking of David. This is what God did. And have made thee a great name. He didn't say the greatest name. He said a great name. Like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. So he wasn't the only one that had a great name. God told David, I have given you a great name among great men. He didn't say that David was given the greatest name. But a great name. And there are names of his brothers that are also listed in the scripture that we can recite. There's great names there. Right along with his names. With his name. But this wasn't David's doing. This was God's doing. So as it was singing or musical gifts or witnessing or whatever. Whatever gifts that God has given us, that's his choice. We can only be what God made us to be. We can't be what somebody wants us to be or even what we want to be. We can only be what God made us to be. So David never asked God one time to give him a great name. And there are many that we will never hear their name. There are pastors around the world. There are evangelists around the world. Church members around the world that we will never hear their name. And we will never know their name, but God is using them nonetheless. God gave William Branham a great name. And he gave him a great ministry. It wasn't his choosing. It was God's choosing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Think of all the nations that came out of Abraham's lineage. Think of the major religions of the world. Think of the peoples that claim Abraham as their father. And they're through that lineage. And there are, we won't get into it this morning, but there was a sevenfold blessing that came under the Abrahamic blessing. And it was not just to Abraham, but it was to Abraham's seed. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now I want you to notice the order of this. I want you to listen closely this morning. Before Abram has any seed, God makes a promise. And God doesn't ask Abram's seed, are you okay with this? They're not even on the scene yet. Abraham doesn't even have any seed. And God's promising things to his seed. And he's not asking Abram, are you okay with this? He doesn't ask Abram's seed to first make a choice. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to wait and see what they do, and then I'll give them a promise before making this covenant with them also. Now, why would that be important? This covenant was made with Abraham and to his seed, and it foreshadows the covenant made with Jesus Christ and the new race, the rest of his brethren, the rest of the God race. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord and appeared unto him. So what I also want you to notice here is we see no worship until the promise comes. So it isn't, well, you worship me so nice and I just so appreciate that special. And we do. We're not, don't take this the wrong way. But it wasn't a special that caused God to show favor on Abram. It wasn't behavior. It wasn't a desire to do good. It wasn't turning over a new leaf. God made him a promise. Then Abraham believed it and worshiped God. So it's not based on Abram's worship first. True worship comes when you believe the promise. And it's your testimony back on the promise as it applies to you. Because it becomes your words. So the promises were made, and then Abram believed. So, friends, he wasn't even a believer yet. Oh, somebody's going to shout here. Somebody's going to have their joy shoes on here pretty soon before we get out of here. Because God made you a promise before you ever believed. He already made a covenant with you. He already made a promise with you. He said, I will, I shall, I will. Before you ever believed. You didn't even want to serve him and he'd already made you a promise. Oh. Glory. Brother Branham says, the promise was made to Abraham, not because he was a great man. Or not because that he was a religious man. But it was by God's foreknowledge. By election he chose Abraham. God chose you. You never chose God. Oh friends, the Calvinists, the Arminians have so much trouble with that. They go off onto this other extreme. They want it to be based on your choice. It's based on his choice. You never chose God. God chose you. When this breaks on you, it takes the struggle away. God chose you. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. So many people say, oh, I sought God. I sought God. He says, that's a mistake. You don't seek God. God seeks you. We see that from the very first chapter of the Bible, the very first book of the Bible, I should say. In Genesis, God came after man. Man ran from God. God came after man. So when God seeks you, what it is, friends, it's your election working on you. Because it's down on the inside. And God works through election. It's already there. And God begins to draw you. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up thou now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. If you'll... I don't see an if in there anywhere. If I'm in a good mood that day, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'm going to string you along. And you could lose this promise somewhere along the way. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And they are blessed. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Why? Because God chose to do it. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So notice, it wasn't because he built God an altar that this happened. He didn't build the altar until after the promise came. He didn't worship until after the promise came. And this is why many times we don't get the Holy Ghost right away sometimes. It's because we try to do something to get the promise. And that's backwards. What you do is you receive the promise. It breaks on you that God has made this promise to you. And once you receive that promise, then the worship comes. Then the Holy Ghost comes. But if we try to earn it, conversely, if we beat ourselves up and say, well, the reason I'm not getting it is because it never had anything to do with you to begin with. It had everything to do with God's promise to you. You say, well, I had to repent and I had to be baptized. Yeah, but that's just a natural result of God speaking to you and drawing you. It brings you to a godly repentance. His Spirit is dealing with you. It naturally brings you to repentance. And then His Word says to be baptized in His name, and you naturally will do that in obedience to His Word. But He made you the promise. So it's not based on if you're a good boy, pretty good boy, sort of good boy, if you... The promise comes first. Now he made it to Abraham. Not, Abraham, if you'll do a certain thing, I'll make a great nation of you and make you a father of nations. He said, if you can catch this shadow, friends, it ought to cause you to shout your shoes off. He said, I have done it. Those that I've called, I've justified. Those that I've justified, I've glorified. Not I will, I have. He said, I have done it. Remember, the promise is altogether grace and no law mixed in it at all. Not any ifs at all. It's absolutely God choosing Abraham. It wasn't Abraham's desire. Oh, that's a good one. It wasn't Abraham's desire. Sometimes we'll beat on ourselves. Well, you know, I don't feel like I got the right kind of a desire. It isn't your desire either. It wasn't Abraham's desire. He was a heathen. His daddy made false gods. And he worked in his daddy's shop. He was as heathen could be, just like we were. We were as all others, but God. It wasn't Abraham's desire. He was a heathen. He come down from the Tower of Babel, down in the valley of Shinar, and the land of the Chaldeans, and the city of Ur. And he was just an ordinary man. In other words, you wouldn't have picked him out. You wouldn't have come along and said, well, you know, I hear that God's going to choose a man in our day. Let me go around. I bet I know who it is. It's Rabbi Goldstein over there. Or it's Brother Nice. Mr. Gifted. He was just an ordinary man. In other words, you wouldn't have picked him out of a crowd. Would you have picked yourself out of a crowd? We look at ourselves, well, who am I and what am I? God's choice. Nothing Abraham done. Listen to this. Not even his desires. This wasn't, well, God looked a lot. Well, look, this guy, he's working at a false God shop, but he's got some different desires. So I'm going to choose him. It wasn't even his desires. Oh, let it break on you this morning, friends. But God, by grace and election, chose Abraham. That's the way he chose you. Not nothing you done. What he done. Now remember, to Abraham and his seed. What did his seed do? They weren't even born yet. So it wasn't my desire. It's God's election. And God chose you the same way. Again, he says, now watch. Abraham was called by election. Nothing Abraham did. And now notice, the covenant at Genesis 12, see, the whole covenant was given to Abraham. The whole covenant is completely grace. Then why is the law preached so hard? Not Abraham, if you'll do a certain thing, I'll do a certain thing. It wasn't, no, if you do this, I'll do this. God makes a covenant with a man, and a man always breaks his covenant. Why would we think we're any better than anybody else? That's where self-righteousness comes in. People trying to live the law without a birth. He told Adam, if you'll not eat from that tree, you'll live. But Adam, eat from it. And he told him the covenant that he made with them at the Mosaic covenant in the wilderness there. They broke it. You aren't called under Adam's covenant this morning. You're not under a covenant, if you do this, I'll do that. That's not your covenant. That's not what God, that is not the New Testament covenant. And you aren't called under the Old Testament covenant either, under the law. Well, if you just, you know, if you'll close your Bible after the preacher reads the scripture, and if you don't, you won't go, but if you do, there's a chance that you might go. And if you just refrain from talking in the bathroom, and if you don't celebrate your birthday or Christmas or Valentine's Day or whatever, well, I can hear it. Oh, we just want a law so that we can live. So did the Jews. And God showed them, he allowed them to have that, to see that they couldn't keep the law. You aren't called under the law. You're called under grace. The whole covenant now is grace. In fact, it's grace, grace. Again, he says, when God in Genesis 12 called Abraham, it was by election. It wasn't because Abraham was good. It wasn't because Abraham deserved it. It was because God chose Abraham, not Abraham choosing God. It was God choosing Abraham, and that's the way he calls his seed too. Not what you want to be, not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Is that scripture? Certainly. It's not what you want to be. It's what God has chose you to be. We didn't even know that there was something to be until he showed us. Oh, I want to be a good person. Well, that's nice. That's sweet. There was a lot of people that wanted to be a good person that were on the wrong side of the ark and drowned. Probably better people than Noah. But they were on the wrong side of the door. It's what God has chosen you to be. There's where our peace is. There's where our rest is. When we're walking in what God chose us to be, we don't worry about whether somebody else is getting a limelight and we're not, or somebody's getting an opportunity and we're not. If you're walking in what God chose you to be, nobody can take your place. We serve a bigger God than that tonight, for this morning, friends. Oh, but I want to be a good person. That's wonderful. But that never did get God's attention. He didn't save you because you wanted to be a good person. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. I am thy shield. Notice, he didn't say, Lord, would you please be my shield? He didn't ask for him to be your provider. He said, I am your provider. You didn't ask for him to be your shield, but he's your shield. The Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Peter said the same thing, exceeding great and precious promises. He didn't say, Now, Abraham, if it's okay with you, I'd like to do this for you, but I understand if you've got other plans. I want you to make your own decisions. Is this okay? Will you let me do this for you? Listen, friends, if he can save you without your will being involved, what can he do with you once you're born again and your will is surrendered to him? And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. If you're a good boy. If you close your Bible right away after the minister reads the scripture. Why do we want to go back into bondage? Shall. I love that word. So shall. Not so maybe. So might. So possible. So shall thy seed be. And they're not even here yet. Notice. So here's the correct order. Here's the correct order. And he believed. So he wasn't a believer until he heard it. You got to hear it to believe it. Faith comes by hearing. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it unto him for righteousness. So him just saying, I take you at your word. God said it's as good as done. So he wasn't even a believer until God spoke his promises to him. And then he believed. It might have come to you in some mysterious or roundabout way. You might have had a tract somewhere that somebody left behind, or a message book, or maybe God brought somebody in and they're zealous and on fire, and maybe they hit you over the head with it or introduced it to you, whatever, however it came to you. But God knew that it would reach you. And he wasn't worried about it. He already said it before you ever got here. Someone might have brought it to you and then went right back out into the world. But what does that have to do with you? But he made sure that you got it. No matter who the delivery person was. Glory. God said, So shall thy seed be. And then he believed. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, he didn't tell him that in the very beginning. He just said, come out, follow me. So it's unfolding. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed, have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the Euphrates. Friends, it didn't matter what other nations said. It didn't matter what other people said. It didn't matter what his relatives said. This is what God said. He didn't say, I'll wait and see what you're going to do, Abram. I'm just going to study you for a little while. And then I'll tell you what you get. based on your behavior. Why have we brought that into the New Testament covenant? He gave it to his seed before he had any seed at all. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Raphaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. So 24 years later, the Lord appeared to Abram. So he hasn't even had a name change yet. And said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. Not would you like to walk before me? Walk before me. And be thou perfect. How in the world can you do that? Abraham did it by believing God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply thee exceedingly past the zero kids that you have. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, God says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be the father of many nations. I want you to know this, Abram. I'm only making this covenant with you. As for me, I'm making it with you. Out of all the other people that are on the earth, I'm making it with you and your seed. Nobody on the earth but you. Why me, Lord? This is not a sales job. This is not God and Abram trying to work out something. This isn't God saying, I want to partner with you. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what you need to do. And if you break your covenant, then the covenant is broken. If you break your end of it, God knew Abram would accept, just as God knew that you would accept. He knows that because he put your name, he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. And he put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And he knew what choice that you would make. How could you make any other choice if you are his seed? If you came from him, if you are part of the Word. You will agree with the Word. So God knew that Abram would accept, just as God knew that you would accept. Don't take away my choice. You'll make the choice. But you're coming because he made the choice. God thought about you before the foundation of the world. God thought about what you would do in 2020. He thought about that. He thought about what skin color you'd have, what your family heritage would be, the things that you would have to struggle with. How much money you'd make, who you'd marry, what job you'd have. He thought all of that before the foundation of the world. And then he spoke it. God spoke your name, which is what you would do in the day, and he put it in his word. And here you are, the manifestation of what God thought and what God spoke, now being lived out. Who's going to stop him? His word will not return unto him void. It'll accomplish what it was sent to do. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. Finally. I don't call you church any longer. I call you bride. Thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. To begin with, I made you, Abram. You're my creation. I can choose whoever I want. You say, that's not fair. You make choices. How fair is that? God chose. He said, I made you. And since I made you, I have the right to name you. So I'm going to rename you. You're no longer Abram. You're Abraham. I'm going to put part of my name right in the middle of your name. And the elect of God does not fight against it. Now, friends, you don't know this at first. The elect of God are the Word of God. And the Word in them says amen to the Word when it comes across their path. And then the life vindicates that Word to be true by bringing it into manifestation. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Wow. Whose will is being spoken here? Why do we focus so much on free moral agency and our own will? This is all God's will. I haven't heard anything in there about, what do you think? Or how would you like it to be? But the thing is, if God made you to be a certain way, that's what you'll want to be. And I will establish, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God doesn't wait for permission. Why? He has it. He has your permission. We don't fight against God. He knows. You will make that choice if you are called. The pattern's here, friends. So, friends, if God could do this with a man that was born in sin, what could God do with the royal seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with his lineage that are not under the blood of bulls and goats, but are under the blood of the Lamb? Verse 8. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Wow. He doesn't ask the unborn seed, is it okay if I'm your God? Now, he made the covenant unconditional. It isn't just exactly that he made it just because that he was Abraham. He didn't say, now Abraham, if you will do this, if you will do that. He said, Abraham, I have done it already. Abraham, I have done it already. Abraham, I have done it already. To him that he called, he justifies. To them that he justifies, he glorifies. I have done it already. Now, Abraham, if you will do this, if you will do that. He said, Abraham, I have done it already. It ain't gotten nothing that you've got to do. I have done it myself. Amen. Oh my. When I think of that, God did it himself. Unconditional. God's covenant is unconditional. So the covenant that he made with the first couple, it was conditional. Right? And it had to be conditional because God wanted to unfold characteristics of himself that wouldn't unfold unless there was a fall. So Adam and his wife fell. Adam lost his land, but he didn't lose his soul. He was still a son of God. So our flesh has promises that are conditional. Do you realize your joy is conditional? It's conditional with your what? But not your soul. Your soul is eternal. Your peace is conditional. If you choose to hang out in a bar room, where's your peace? If you choose to let your ear be a garbage can and let somebody pour trash into it, let somebody gossip, you'll lose your peace. If you choose to listen to people that worry and worry and worry and fret and fret, and worry and worry, and you quit praying and you quit reading your Bible, fear will creep in. And you'll lose your peace. But you can get it back. But it has nothing to do with your soul. Our soul is on an unconditional covenant this morning. Our flesh has promises that are conditional. You're healed as long as you believe you're healed. The land of Israel was given to Israel on a conditional covenant. But not the soul. So your joy is conditional. Your peace is conditional. But not your soul. Your land depends on what you do. Again, he says, you say, well, brother, I quit eating meat. I don't do this. Brother, that don't have one thing to do with it. It isn't whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat. So don't worry about it either way. It isn't whether you eat meat or don't eat meat or keep Sabbath days or new moons. We might add blood moons into that. Or whether you go to Sunday school on Sunday or whatever this is. You are saved. No, he didn't say that. You are saved as long as you go to this church. You are saved as long as you receive the latest doctrine that's going forth. But you have no control over what it might be. You're saved as long as you're a good girl or a good boy. You're saved unconditional. Then you say, Brother Branham, then if I'm saved, glory to God, I can do what I want to. Yes, sir. And if you're saved, brother, you have no desire of nothing of the world. And your whole heart centered on that. You can't keep away from it. But as long as there's a tug there, you know that there's something wrong yet. Now, election, God called Abraham, told him that he was going to save him unconditional. Friends, if you're of the elect of God, if God has chosen you, there's something down in the inside that can't rest. If you do something wrong, something in there won't rest. You may hesitate for a little while, but it won't rest. You'll make it right. Because there's something in there that's keeping you. Now, if you're just a church member, you can go, you can never make things right and act like everything's just fine and not even be convicted about it. After you don't let that conviction become dulled. Sit there and let foolish pride rule over you. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit come in there. But if you are elect, there's no way that you won't make it right. You will. And the pastor won't have to beat you into it, and somebody else won't have to shame you into it. Won't have to have an evangelist come and say just certain words to get you to do it. You'll make it right because something's in you. That's the thing, friends. It isn't me that's keeping me. I can't keep me. It's Him. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's the best, friends, that's the best guarantee that you have. You have the token. You are sealed. You're going to be there. You are not going to fall away. You might lose some peace along the way. You might lose joy, which you'll have to fight to get back, but not your soul. And when you do things wrong, you'll make it right. And there's things that you won't do. Why? Because what's in you won't allow you to do it. It's not just special for some elect seed of God to overcome. If you're born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, sealed, you will overcome. You won't have to be begged to come to church. And you won't sit there coming to church doing your religious duty thinking, I can't stand this guy, but I'm coming until something better comes along. That won't be in your heart. You come because there's something in you. And that thing that's in you is what motivates your entire life. It's what causes you to humble yourself. It's what causes you to live for others. It's what causes you to love God's children. It's what causes you to love your neighbor. It's what causes you to forgive. It's what causes you to do what's right. Not because you're righteous, but because He's righteous and He's keeping you because He made a covenant with you. This is what I'm going to do. And when you surrender and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you die out to yourself. You're filled with His Spirit. He'll keep His covenant. He won't just do it for some. He'll do it for everyone. This is the truth of eternal security.
God told Abraham, I have blessed you. Friends, the thing is, you will come to that realization yourself. You will know, you know what? I tried to live a Christian life, but now I'm living a Christian life. Since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, since Jesus Christ has revealed himself to me personally and told me, I've made this promise to you. And I said, yes, Lord. And he came and gave me a sign that said, yeah, you said you believe. I agree with you. You do believe. Amen. Ever since that took place in your life, it's different. Your desires are different. Brother Branham came over to a woman's house. He was going to turn off her power. He worked for the Indiana Power and Electric, and one of his many jobs, and she hadn't paid her bill, and so he had to turn off the power. So he come, and she called him a kinky-headed idiotic, called him a half-breed, said something about his mother. He said, you know, I knew something had happened. I knew something had changed. Oh, hallelujah. I knew something was holding me, because he said, I felt sorry for the poor little fella. He said, you know what? He said, I might not have hit you when I was younger. I might not have, or when I was in the world, I might not have hit you for saying that. But if you said something about my mother, I don't care if you were a girl. I'd hit you. He used to have a temper that would fight a buzzsaw. He said, if I had to get up on a ladder to hit you, I would. He drank dinner through a straw many times. That was his first nature. But now all of a sudden, he's feeling sorry for it. What is that? That ain't you. That's Christ in you. That's Christ in you, interceding, extending grace and mercy and love to that other person. Friends, remember when his wife died. And then shortly after that, his daughter dies. And she's going to be buried with her mother. He said, that was the most treacherous time of my life. He said, Satan came to me. He said, there was a black sheet there. God wouldn't hear my prayer. God wouldn't answer me. God wouldn't talk to me. And here I'd served him. Here I'd done this for him, and I'd done that for him, and I'd done this for him. And this is what he does. He takes my wife. He takes my child. These thoughts are coming through his head. And he came this close to crossing the line. He said, but then all of the sudden, something down deep. That's what we're talking about, friends. Not what you think you can do, not what you believe you can do or hold on to, not what you can manufacture yourself, but something that's already down in the inside. Rose up and said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it was a revelation. He wasn't just saying it because those were nice words to say. That was an anchor. And he didn't even know that it was there. It's keeping you. It's keeping you. It's keeping you. Oh, friends, you know what we're talking about. You end up in situations you think, man, there's just no way I can take this. And yet, he takes you through it. He keeps you. This one falls away. That one falls away. But he keeps you. And you look at yourself and you say, I'm no better than this one or that one. But he keeps you. It has nothing to do. You might have been the meanest person on the planet. This isn't about, well, you know, if you got the right genetic makeup, or, you know, if you're raised in the right kind of a home, or you're of a certain race or a certain education level. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what God placed down on the inside. It's election. And if you're saved, brother, you have no desire of nothing of the world. And your whole heart's centered on that. That don't mean that your flesh isn't going to be tempted. It means down in your heart, down in your soul, you don't want to do what's wrong. Whereas before, you wanted to do what was wrong. And if you're saved, brother, you have no desire of nothing of the world. and your whole heart centered on that. You can't keep away from it. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be what you want me to be. But as long as there's a tug there, you know there's something wrong yet. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. The gift of repentance is on its way. Now, election, God called Abraham, told him he was going to save him, unconditional. God told Abraham, I have blessed you. I have made you a father. Not I will, I have. I have made you. And you'll come to me in an old age. You're going to be saved. I've already done it. I've already said so. You have got nothing to do with it. It's unconditional. God determined to have his church. So every time he made a covenant with man, man breaks his covenant. And he does yet today. Man will always break his covenant with God. But God can't break his covenant with man. We make mistakes after we receive the Holy Ghost. You say, not me. You haven't received the Holy Ghost, obviously. Because that would be a lie you're telling. You'll make mistakes. And you will endeavor to bring this, as the Word unfolds to you, you will endeavor to bring this flesh into subjection to God's Word. Again, he says, now we find that God's church is not the will of the people. It's election. Election is in God. God called Abraham. Don't you wish our elections were that way today? God, what's your choice? Election is in God. God called Abraham, the founder of the faith. Beginning, God was the founder, of course. But Abraham, in the beginning, was called out of Chaldea, city of Ur, out of the plains of Shinar, not with any merit of his own. God, so Brother Merritt wasn't there. There was no merit of his own. God saved him unconditional. And God gave him the promise of all his seed unconditional. So why do we want to put ours on conditions? You put it on conditions, you'll put it on conditions for others. It's God's choice, not ours. It's not God having respect of persons. It's his choosing. Jesus, when he came along, he said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. You didn't have nothing about coming to God then. God drawed you to Jesus. And all that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. This is why we don't beg people to come to God. This is why it seemed like, at some times, it seemed like, from some of the statements that Brother Branham made, that he was against altar calls. But you look at the other statements and he made altar calls clear up to the end. An altar call is an opportunity for those that God is calling to repent. And it doesn't have to be an altar. But it does take an atmosphere to do something. And we create that atmosphere. Again, he says, I believe that God set examples. He saved Abraham unconditional. He made a covenant with man, and man always breaks his covenant. But man has always tried to find some way to save himself. Tried to make himself. It comes from a strain in the Garden of Eden. Oh, so that's what's behind this. When man realized that he had sinned, he tried to make himself a religion, a covering. The word religion means a covering. And Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together and made himself a religion. And since then, it's been a strain of man down through the age trying to do something to save himself.
But you are saved by grace. Election.
God's foreknowledge. Predestination. Foreordination.
That's God's grace.
Paul tells the church at Ephesus that God predestinated us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Listen, friends, this isn't complicated, and don't get caught up on words. And you know, these are words that we don't use in our normal language. We don't talk about foreknowledge and predestination and all that in our normal conversation. But just think of it this way. If there hadn't have been a fall, there were names that were written on a book. God had a family. Those names would have come forth. They would have been born. They were chosen in Him. And there wouldn't have been anybody else. Just those names. But guess what? There was a fall. And guess what? He made a way so that those names still come forth. And a whole bunch of other names come forth that weren't on the Lamb's Book of Life. That weren't chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Well, what if I'm not one of those? You wouldn't care.
Paul tells the church at Ephesus that God predestinated us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Think of it. Predestinated us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
He thought about you before the foundation of the world.
What are we worried about then?
Church, what are we worried about? Stock market? Ebola? What's the latest thing? Coronavirus? What are we worried about?
Get away from the worry. We're just the happiest creatures you could ever have seen. And if we're not happy, we're living below our privileges. My, how can you believe that and keep from being happy?
This is what enabled Abraham to walk in what God called. Faith is part of it. But God gives you that faith.
God calls,
you respond. It's that simple. And this is why we teach parents and grandparents sometimes not to try to force a response from your children or grandchildren. Because maybe God isn't calling. Oh, friends, there's no way they'll miss it. I don't care how young they are. And if the Lord were to come before they made their decision, or if they were to die before they make their choice, they'll go to heaven. What are you worried about? This isn't based on you. Of course, we teach and encourage. We do what we can to create the right atmosphere, train them up in the right way. But if God doesn't call, we're doing something out of our own will or our own desire. But if we place it on our own righteousness, then when we aren't living righteous, we get discouraged. We might even quit. We struggle. Legalism is all based on fear. There's no rest in legalism. Pull over here just a moment. Again, he says, now Abraham, God called him by election. He wasn't any better than anybody else. Brother Ron Spencer asked that we pray for him. So the tumors that were, or the, they weren't sure what they were, that was in his lymph node and then top of his lung, bottom of his lung. They said it's an aggressive cancer. Said he's not afraid. But he did ask us to pray. And pray we will.
Now Abraham, God called him by election.
I was just talking to him yesterday. And I told him, you know, when the roof came off the building here this last Wednesday night, I just happened to notice that it was 2 years to the day that you were with us. And the roof came off the building. And now you need something. I said, it's an honor. It's a privilege.
Now, Abraham, God called him by election. He wasn't any better than anybody else. He came out of Babylon, out of perhaps maybe, you know, friends, the devil will use any tool that he can. Well, who are you related to in the message? Nobody that I know of. But if you live long enough, you'll be related to everybody through marriage. And if the Lord doesn't come, there's not going to be anybody left to marry. Well, what fishing trip were you on? How many pieces of his britches do you have? What hunting story do you have? Who do you know that knows somebody that knows somebody? Who did Abraham know? Where's the linkage there? He wasn't any better than anybody. Anybody else? He came down from Babylon. Perhaps, maybe his father and them might have been an idol worshiper, for all I know. It was in Babylon, and Babylon was the beginning of idolatry. It was established by Ham's children, which was Nimrod, and finally, first was called the Gates of Paradise, later called Babylon, confusion. There's where idolatry was set up, and perhaps Abraham's father might have been an idolater. But he came down into the land of Shinar, in the city of Ur, and there they sojourned in there, and God, by sovereign grace, called Abraham. Not Abraham calling God. God called Abraham and gave him the covenant. Now to my Armenian brethren, that's the legalists that are over on this side, this may shock just a little bit, but he gave it to him unconditionally. Amen. That's right, he says. Not if you'll do this, if you'll do that. There's no ifs attached to it. You know, when I first came to the message right off the bat, you got to believe this certain doctrine. Well, the Lord hasn't revealed it to me. Well, then you can't make it. Actually, you could have made it if you never heard it, but since it's been presented to you and you haven't said uncle to it yet. Conditional, once again. If I'm supposed to believe something, God will reveal it to me. He promised. He said, I personal pronoun will lead you into all truth. There's no ifs attached to it. I have done it. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, God made a covenant with Adam. Adam broke it. Every time God makes a covenant or man makes a covenant with God, he breaks it. But this time, God's determined that he wasn't going to let his children be lost. Isn't that the beautiful part of it? He's not going to let you be lost, even if you try. He said, well, that don't sound right. Yeah, how many's tried to quit before? How many's done it a few times in one day? How'd it work out? You're still here. Something keeps holding me. This time God's determined that he wasn't going to let his children be lost. He made the covenant wholly unconditional. Told Abraham, I saved you, and now you're coming to me in an old age. Not only you, but your seed after you, I saved. Friends, if that doesn't convince us, not only was it not based on what Abraham did or didn't do, but it wasn't based on what his seed did or didn't do that didn't even exist yet. Amen. This is where the rest comes from. It's an eternal rest for the soul. Oh, you'll still struggle, sure. You'll still fight daily battles. But in the soul, you'll say, it is well. And he tells us, you know, I would that you would prosper in health. Same way your soul is prospering. This is grace. And this is in his will. Some try to live this. And some will try to earn this. Some will only believe it. And then witness it being lived out. In spite of who we are. Again, he says, therefore, He, by election, he chose Abraham, for he knew what Abraham would do. But God, foreknowing that, and knowing that Abraham would do it, and then he told Abraham in the beginning that he would save him and save his seed after him and would give him the unconditional covenant that he made with Abraham, not because Abraham was good, but because God was good. And every believer in here is a Christian tonight. Because not that you're good, but because God was good to call you. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. You couldn't come yourself. Your nature's against you. You just couldn't. As I said the other night, make a pig believe that he's wrong eating slop. Because it's his nature. A leopard could not change his spots. No matter how bad he would lick, he'd only brighten it. And you don't want reformation. You don't want to try to reform or do a little better. You got to be changed completely inside. And the nature come from within. And it'll work out. But get it right inside at the beginning. And you begin with the soul before the world was ever formed. When God created man in his own image. Now you got to get that right. And that's what has to be born again. Not your thinking. It moves with this. God speaks his word to you. And then what? Well, what have I got to do? What do I got to do? You know, let's make a rule book here this morning, okay? Would you allow me to do it for just a moment? You can contest it in a moment if you don't like it. But can you just bear with me for just a moment? Let me make a rule book. All I need is a little... Oh, here we go. This is the amount of space. I don't even actually need this whole card. I'm going to put all the rules on here that you need to keep. Okay? I'm going to put on here what you need to do. Is that all right? Okay, here's the rule book. It's complicated now. This is going to be tough. Better write it down. Here it is. God speaks to you from his word. And you only... Oh, it couldn't be that. That's too easy. It's so easy that a fool could not err therein. There's your rule book. What do I got to do? Only? Why do you think he said that over and over and over and over? He didn't say only believe and be a brother of so-and-so's church. Only believe and click your heels and twist around and say there's no place like home. Only believe and cross your fingers. Only believe and dress a certain way. Only believe and be a good guy. You could write it all right here on this card and have plenty of room left over. It's only two words. Actually, maybe there's three words. Hear and then believe. Only believe. That's it. Can you do that? Can you do that? God, I'm just going to take you at your word. Here's what you said. Here's what you said you're going to do. Here's your description of an overcomer in this age. I'm born again of your spirit. I can't see. It's beyond me. I can't even imagine how I could be that person. But you said I was.
Amen.
And you've sealed me with your spirit. You've quickened me. You've made yourself real to me. You've told me that, look, these promises, I'm not just speaking to anybody, I'm speaking to you. Oh, I might be speaking to all these other people, but it doesn't matter. I'm speaking to you. This is between you and me. I'm telling you, this is what I promise to do for you. And you say, Lord, I believe. That's it. That's it. Throw all your other rules out the door. Well, what do I got to do? Whatever he tells you. Well, I don't have a card here this morning, Brother Baker, so what am I going to do? I didn't bring one. I'm going to miss out. He said he'd write it in your flesh, in your heart. He'd write his law. He'd put it in your mind, hearing the message, hearing the word, but he'd write it in your heart. If it's written there, how are you not going to keep it? If it's the word, how can it be broken? It can't. The word will not return into him void. So he quickens it to you, and you only. And what happens? What happens is what you believed comes to pass. Now, how did you make that happen? You didn't. You just believed. Well, what if I'm not a believer? You wouldn't care. You are a believer. You wouldn't be here. There's lots of... The Super Bowl is playing today, or whatever they call it. Super Bowl. Oh, you didn't know that? You saved... I hear their seats go for... Some people are paying $20,000 for a seat. How much did you pay for yours this morning? Look at what you got spared. Not only did you not have to pay all that, but you're not getting sunburned. You got air conditioning, heat. Probably a more comfortable seat. But you're hearing eternal things. Not something temporary that nobody's even going to care about. And not too long. Something that has really no consequence. But you're hearing God speak to you as he spoke to Abraham. Because you are his spiritual seed. You're the spiritual seed of Abraham this morning. Spiritual seed of the royal seed. You're the continuation of the God race, of the new race. And God is writing his word, his law, in your heart. And you're agreeing with it. Not my will, but thy will be done. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's what's happening. You're believing God. And what he said is taking place in your... Oh, friends... Can you realize the magnitude of this? Can you realize the importance of this? Because every one of us, Brother Joe, when we get to the other side, every one of us, we're all going to have the same testimony. I didn't do this. He did it all. I overcame by the word of my testimony. He gave me the word, and that word produced the testimony. And by the blood of the Lamb. It wasn't Brother So-and-so's rule book. He did it all. Amen. United with the Eternal One. If the musicians would come, please. Hallelujah. We have to hear these things. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We have to hear it in due season. You might have heard this before. You might have heard it many times before. But in the right time, the right season, it's quickened to you. God doesn't reveal everything to us all at once. We couldn't take it. He reveals a little bit. We live it, we believe it, we live it. He reveals a little bit. We believe it, we live it. He unfolds. We grow. But he that started that work, friends, is going to finish it. How many believes that this morning?
This is why we cry in this age, grace, grace. We're the worst kind of people living in the worst hour, in the worst conditions. And yet, He chose. He chose us. He chose the elect, wherever they're at, around the world, to overcome in this age. And you'll know that it was Him. Without the Holy Ghost, you will not overcome. Without the Holy Ghost, you will be deceived. It's not possible to not be deceived. But with the Holy Ghost, you can't be deceived. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we meditate on these things, Lord, we know that these things have to come, Lord, that we've got to hear it. We've got to hear it. We'll get it at a certain level, perhaps. We'll get it in different seasons in our walk, but Lord, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we're walking in a season where your prophet declared when the bride knows who she is, she'll do the greater work. When she recognizes who she is, when she recognizes that she has His word and knows what He wants done with it, Satan will be absolutely thwarted. She'll resist the Antichrist. She'll discern the two spirits within the church and resist the Antichrist spirit. And Satan will be absolutely thwarted. These things have to come to pass. But for them to come to pass, there has to be a people that recognize that this applies to them. That this is spoken to them. That this is to be lived out in their lives. And Lord, it's your word that brings this faith. It's your word that brings that recognition. And Lord, we say, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe you, Lord. I take you at your word. Purge me, oh God. Purge me of any Babylonish ideas, Lord. Purge me of any denominational thinking. Purge me, Lord, of ideas and thoughts and different things that we've brought with us from what we've been taught or what we've heard or what we imagined ourselves at times. Lord, purge us. As we come to this feast, we want to be purged of any leaven. We don't want anything to be mixed. We want to take the pure word. And Lord, we can rest on that. We can't rest on emotion, Lord. We appreciate emotion and we're thankful for it. But we can't rest on it. We can't rest on memories. We can't rest on experiences by themselves. But Lord, we can rest on your unfailing words of promise. You will never, your heaven and earth will pass, but not one jot or tittle of your word will fail to come to pass. Our faith this morning, Lord, is in your unfailing words of promise. Lord, I just pray that you search our hearts, search our minds, Lord. Purge us, Lord. Father, maybe the enemy has robbed us of peace. Maybe the enemy has robbed us of joy. Maybe the enemy has robbed us of rest. Maybe we're sealed, filled with the Holy Ghost, born again. But maybe we've gotten slack in our prayer life or gotten slack in reading the Bible, walking with you daily. And we find that the cares of life get us bogged down. We find that the trials of life cause us to get weary. But Lord, you intended for us to have joy in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our troubles. And Lord, as your prophet and apostle Paul, as he spoke to us, he said, I found that there's a great secret here. And that secret is whatever situation that I'm in, to be content. Lord, the only way we can be content is to be walking in your promises, be walking in your word, to not be your word mixed with ideas or feelings or works or anything else. But we're just resting on your unfailing words of promise. We have your word or we keep our mouth shut. Lord, I just pray that you move on every heart here this morning. Father, if there's things in our lives that are hindering the joy that you intend for us to have, the peace that you intend for us to have, Lord, help us this morning. Just show us, Lord. We'll repent of it, Lord. eagerly, excitingly. It will take what your word declares. Satan, no doubt, is telling somebody here this morning that they'll never make it. We know that because he's a liar. And we know his ways are unchanging as well. He has patterns that are established as well. We know that he can't tell the truth. We know that he'll contradict your unfailing words of promise. But Lord, that's all the more reason for us to listen to you, to hear what you have to say on it, and to make sure that we take every thought, Lord, everything that we believe, everything that we hold dear, and run it through the filter of your word. See if it's in your word. If it's not, Lord, we want to cast it down. If it's not, Lord, we want to make sure that it's not something that we're resting on. Lord, we know that your word will not fail. I pray that you move on every heart, Lord. I pray, oh God, as we continue to press, Lord, as we continue to come to maturity, as we continue to draw closer to you and finish out, Lord, living out the promises for this day. Lord, help us to just take you at your word and to rest, Lord, and to only believe what you've declared. Grant it this morning, Lord. Father, if there's any unforgiveness in our hearts, move on our hearts this morning, Lord. Father, if there's complexes this morning, pray that you'd move on our hearts, Lord, to trust you and to let those things go and to realize it's something that we've made. It's not something you did, but it's things that happen to us as we get hurt or wounded. But Lord, you want to be our healer. You want to be our strength. And Lord, it was never your intention for the trials that we go through to cause us to be something different than what you called us to be. But Lord, these trials are to bring out what you've already declared are in us, to bring them to manifestation. Lord, we wish that there was another way, but that's the way that you've ordained. And we trust that your ways are right and that your ways are just. Your ways are perfect. And once we're tried, we will come forth as gold. Move on every heart, Lord. Bless each and every one. We love you and we thank you now. Lord, we just thank you for your amazing grace. Your grace to keep us, Lord, to call us, to keep us, to live this life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thou art worthy. Yes, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O thou art worthy. Yes, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou art worthy, yes, thou.